Us now by phone, we have Brian Rucker. I am so excited to have Brian on the phone with us. Here's why. Brian is a professor of history at Pensacola State College, and Brian has been one of the key authors in the series on the 200th anniversary of Escambia County, you know, the ones that we've been featuring every Wednesday at this time. The problem is Brian, up until this week, basically, had a class at this time and was not able to join us. So here he is, finally liberated from the shackles of educating young minds, able to educate all the rest of us. Brian Rucker. Brian, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Oh, thank you much, Andrew.
Hey, great to have you. And really, really good stuff that you've been writing all this time, including this week. Forts and Bricks, How the Military and Industry Evolved in Early Pensacola. Fascinating story. Let's just kind of start with this. A lot of the construction history of Pensacola was driven in the early days by the construction of the forts that were placed here, right? Because of the Deepwater Port.
Exactly. When the Pensacola Navy Yard is built, the United States government has an investment here, so they have to protect it. And back then, to protect it was coastal defense fortifications made out of brick. So we have several humongous brick forts built in the area. And because there was a lot of clay and mud in the area, perfect for making bricks, it basically spurred on a huge brick-making boom in Pensacola.
So they made the bricks here. I think, and I'm putting together what I remember from another interview, didn't we also become a brick exporter because of the development of the brick-making facilities here locally?
Definitely. There have always been supplies of clay that have been used by the Native Americans back, you know, 1,000 years ago. But when the colonial powers came here, they also took advantage of it, but it really skyrocketed with the brick building boom, because it wasn't just Pensacola. There were forts being built all the way towards New Orleans and all the way down to the Florida Keys. So eventually, after they built Fort Barrancas and Fort Pickens and Fort McCree and Fort Redoubt, the supply was still out there, so they were able to export millions of bricks over towards Barataria Bay, Louisiana, over to Mobile, and perhaps the biggest one in the 1850s, the largest brick fort ever built in the United States on Dry Tortugas, about 2.5 hours west of Key West, out there on Coral Atoll, Fort Jefferson, which is a national park. You can only get to it by plane, seaplane, or by boat, but it is an amazing place to visit, and 95% of the bricks that built this humongous fort came from along the scenic highway bluffs.
Huh. That's fascinating. I have to make sure I get this right. You say Fort McCree. Is that because I've always heard McCree, but you tell me, what's the right way to pronounce it?
It's Fort McCree.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
McCree.
Uh-huh. I will adjust. Davis and I were just having this conversation before the show, as a matter of fact. So that's very cool. All right.
That was common. That was common that a lot of people in the old days, the Colemans wrote a book about Fort McCree a few years ago and tried to correct a lot of the misconceptions.
So maybe walk people through this, because it's a fascinating history. Fort Pickens, McCree, the Redoubt, Barrancas. Which came first, and why did they develop in the order that they did?
Well, there was always sort of a Fort Barrancas going back to 1698 with the Spanish period. In the late 1700s, the Spanish built the first masonry fortification there, Water Battery San Antonio. And then when the Americans came along, they decided to build right above it a huge brick fortification. So that's why there's sort of two Barrancases, and they built a tunnel that goes from the American Fort Barrancas down to the Spanish Water Battery. And I think that little tunnel that connects the two is how the origin of the myth of there's tunnels connecting all the forts along the bay. And my favorite is that you can go from between downtown Pensacola and pop up in Fort Pickens. Well, that would have been astronomical. That would have been the engineering feat of the 1800s. It would cost gazillion dollars, you know. With our sand and our mud, there's no way. But that myth will not die. But I think that those connections between those two forts, that little tunnel you go down, I think that's where you get that story originated from.
That's hilarious. And then, of course, one of the challenges facing those forts the development of, you know, gunpowder and cannons, which, you know, radically changed the need for them. But then you have shifting tidal coastal lines, and as we know, where Fort Pickens is and where Fort McCree is slash was, and how that's affecting them as well, right?
Exactly. You know, when you go to Fort Pickens today, it's a fur piece from the water. You say, this
right.
was on the coast. But back in the 1840s, it was right on the water. We forget that Santa Rosa Island is a westward migrating island. Because of the tidal flows, the sand keeps building to the westward, so it gets further and further land away from the fort. But it also eats out the other side of the pass where Fort McCree was. So that's one reason Fort McCree did not survive. It was built literally on a sandbar, and as the channel eroded further westward, it got undermined, and by after the 1906 hurricane, there was nothing visible left of Fort McCree.
Man, it's I learned so much. Every time I talk to you guys about these articles, it's such a great public service that you're doing, telling this history. I love hearing from you the passion of a fellow educator, and clearly the love of the stories and the history and debunking the myths. I love that part. So it's really gratifying to me to meet you for the first time, Brian, and to hear that you're teaching our kids history over at Pensacola State College. Brian Rucker, he is a professor of history at PSC. The article you can find at the PNJ, Forts and Bricks, How the Military and Industry evolved in early Pensacola. Brian, thanks so much for the time, and thanks for teaching us about Escambia's history.
Anytime.